Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and also the four individual and talented performers who are going to play Just a Minute this week. We welcome back with great pleasure one of the most outstanding and popular players of the game, that is Paul Merton, and we also welcome back one of the senior and most skillful players of the game, that is Clement Freud. We welcome back, after quite a long absence, a very delightful and erudite player of the game, that is Tim Rice, and we welcome for the very first time a someone who's never played the game before, and that is Annabelle Giles. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who will help me keep the score. She'll blow whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our players of the game to speak for just a minute, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Swan Theatre in the delightful Buckinghamshire town of Pye Wycombe. And we obviously have a really high Wycombe audience in the audience who are going to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, how I like to relax. That is the subject. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
Listening to music, reading a good book, walking in the open air, horseback riding, looking at my tropical fish. These are the sort of things I do, often simultaneously, to relax as I find that a whole world of show business can be locked behind the door and I can sink blissfully into my dreams as I look out of the window.
And Tim has challenged.
I think we had a couple of looks.
Yes, he did look before, yes. And so, if you repeat the word, and you challenge correctly.
I said looking at tropical fish, and then look out the window.
Yes, I don't want to stick up for this, I agree.
You're quite right, you did. You did. Thank you, you clicked into my recall, and...
I did what?
Paul, you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. There are 41 seconds available for How I Like to Relax, starting now.
There's a plant that's grown in parts of the West Indies that if you put it inside cigarette paper and then smoke it, it has the most extraordinary effects. I believe it's called a dandelion. And it's a wonderful herbal remedy.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
If he believes that, he'd believe anything.
So your challenge or deviation is the fact... Well, he could believe it. I mean, he may...
It's wonderful.
I can't deny the fact that he's possible he could believe it. So, Paul, I think that's an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject still. 28 seconds. How I like to relax, starting now.
Of course, one of the best ways of relaxing is to take physical exercise. Swimming is a particularly good way of getting rid of the stress and strains of everyday life. I believe as an exercise.
Clement Freud challenge.
He believed again.
Yes, he... You have been believing too much. This time a correct challenge, Clement, a point to you, and you take over the subject. 17 seconds available, starting now.
I go to relaxation classes where strange elderly nerds with beards say things like, listen to the noise of the crickets, open your ears.
Full challenge.
You have to relax between sentences.
Yes. There's relaxing and it's taking a 2-week holiday between sentences. There's a definite hesitation.
And if you do that, you can relax. But if you do that in just a minute, we call that hesitation. So, Paul, the correct challenger point, How I Like to Relax, 5 seconds starting now.
A woman in Earl's Court called Big Bertha who gives the most extraordinary massage. You go round her out and for £5...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion it was Paul Merton. He has 3 at the end of the round. Clement Freud has 2. The other 2 have yet to score, but Annabelle begins the next round. Annabelle Giles, making up. Tell us something about making up in just a minute, starting now.
The other day I was slightly caught short. As a hot date was coming round to visit my house, I had no makeup on me. So what I did, I made do with household products. First of all, I smeared my face with some margarine. I applied it with an ordinary household sponge. Then I filled a bowl with cornflour, blew into it.
Paul, challenge.
Could I just say, slow down, because people might be taking notes.
Paul, we give you a bonus point, because we enjoyed the interruption. And you have 45 seconds still available on making up, starting now.
Mascara could be used in Marmite. Actually, I'm going to have to pass this.
Mascara can be used in Marmite.
I know, it's madness.
Is a form of madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a form of deviation in just a minute.
I think so.
Yes.
41 seconds, Paul, on making up, having got another point, of course, starting now.
The art of improvisation used in the Comedy Store where I...
Annabelle.
Didn't I say
Yes, you did put an in.
No.
Definitely so.
Oh,
you've got
no.
In. 38 seconds, making up, starting now.
Okay, try using cocoa powder for eyeshadow, because that'll be really good. There's also curry powder for... Yes.
Two powders.
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
Well, as it, right. 32 seconds. Clem, tell us something about making up, starting now.
Once upon a time in a town called High Wycombe in Buckinghamshire, there was an audience who was far from spontaneous in that they applauded and cheered and booed whenever they wanted to, quite irrespective of the validity of the challenge that might come from this audience. Making up...
Paul, challenge.
You have two audiences there.
I don't think you have... Did the audience hear two audiences? Thank you
Which
very
audience?
Much. Paul, you have 7 seconds on making up, starting now.
When you're standing on the stage and you have no idea what's going to come into your head next, you could be accused of making it up as you went along. Indeed, that's what I'm doing now.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's increased his lead. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, Annabelle Giles, and Alder. Tim Rice follows. And, Tim, you haven't yet scored, but you have a chance now. It's your turn to begin. And the subject is playing by the rules. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Playing by the rules is extremely important. It makes life continue happily and smoothly. However, there are exceptions to this when playing by the rules is wrong. And I would like to suggest that the ludicrous legislation brought in by this government about imperial units as opposed to the metric kind is an example when we should disobey and we should ignore, we should flout the government. Playing by the rules is vital for any civilized society. How else could we survive on this tiny planet, this small orb spinning in the firmament, a mere 93 million miles from the sun, itself 864,000 of those units in diameter? It's absolutely crucial for every man and woman, Jack of us and Jill, that we...
Paul Tanner.
Every man, woman, Jack of us. Went a little bit odd there, didn't it?
A little bit odd. But
no, every man... Yes.
Every man, woman...
Every man, woman,
I,
Jack
I was
of
trying
us.
To be unsexist.
No, he was saying every man, woman... I knew where
Jack
where he was going.
Jill.
He was going Jack,
no, it's not
Jill.
Deviation from the English language.
No, no. Every man, woman, Jack, Jill of us. I mean, yes, it makes sense to me, but then I've got to...
Yes, well, that clinches it.
Yes. I can see his thinking, and I think he was keeping going cleverly within the rules of just a minute, and he has, playing by the rules still, another point to him for an incorrect challenge, 14 seconds to him, starting now.
Very few sports in this wonderful nation of ours would survive if the participants didn't play by the rules. For example, rugby, tennis, golf, hockey, ice, lacrosse.
So, Tim Rice... started with the subject, kept going to the whistle and gained an extra point for doing so, and he has moved forward from the last place into third place. And Paul Simon, there's only the only odd point between them. Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Tim Rice, Annabelle Giles in that order. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is my star sign. Tell us something about your star sign in this game, starting now.
Let me begin by saying that I have a message for anyone born under the sign of Leo. You can come out now. My own star sign is Taurus. I was born on the 24th day...
Tim Chant.
Two borns. First he rambled
right,
on
right.
about
well, listen,
being
Tim.
Born under...
47 yep. seconds on my star sign, starting now.
If ever I see a star in the street to whom I take a violent dislike, I give him or her a sign that will let that person know what I actually feel about them and their appalling acting.
Paul Challenge.
So it was you.
No, Paul, I said star.
Yeah. Tim was interrupted, so he gets a point for that as well. 29 seconds, my star sign. Tim, starting now.
Pisces, the fish.
Yes, Paul.
Sounded like he's introducing an act. So it's all hit.
Yes. And the act
didn't... hesitation.
Right, the act didn't come on stage, did it?
Right.
So... He hesitated, and you have my star sign, and you have 26 seconds starting now.
When I had to change my name, my original name is Paul Martin. Oh.
Oh, yes. Clement, yes?
Repetition of names.
Two names, right. Clement, you have my star sign, 24 seconds starting now.
I read that Taurians should be extremely careful this week, lest they be attacked by the militant wing of the Women's Institute, as a result of which I came here by train on a very fast-moving St. Marylebone-bound...
I think we hit a red light.
So, Paul, you've cleverly got in with 6 seconds to go on my star sign, starting now.
When I eat a lot of eggs, I get Marylebone-bound, and I don't know what it is. I'm unable. There's something in my stomach. Oh, no, it's an awful feeling, and what I actually believe is going to happen is... The whistle gone yet?
Paul Merton, speaking as a whistleman, gained that extra point and has increased his lead, and it's his turn to begin. The subject, Paul, is sitting on the fence. Tell us something about sitting on the fence in just a minute, starting now.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, which wasn't really a fence, but it's a similar kind of thing. I suppose sitting on the fence means that you're unable to decide between two opposing points of view. You might, for example, say, Clement Freud is the life and soul of any party. On the other hand, people might be able to say, oh, I'm not...
Clement challenge.
Two mites.
So, Clement, you've got a correct challenge that time. 44 seconds. You tell us something about sitting on the fence, starting now.
Were you to try to go to High Wycombe by train, there are no chairs at Marylebone Station, which leaves you to do nothing but sit on a fence. And the fence is between platforms 2 and 3, and a deeply uncomfortable sitting on the fence is also an expression for being unable to decide between two alternatives.
Tim Rice challenge.
You can only have two alternatives, so that was deviation from correct English usage.
Very you can good. Have three alternatives.
No, then they would be possibilities choices. Or choices, yes. No, you're right. You're right. Annabelle's with me.
Yes, but I didn't want to be seen to be your friend in this instance. An unpopular challenge.
I know, we do have this.
But an accurate one.
Yes. So, right, as a wordsmith, we have to bow to you. Yes, it is actually deviation from grammatical English as we understand it, but not always as we use it. But therefore, what can you do in just a minute but say you have a correct challenge? 23 seconds, Tim, sitting on the fence, starting now.
Sitting on the fence was a hit record in 1966 on the immediate label, a white-coloured bit of the record, which was recorded by an unknown act called Twice As Much. And I would suggest, as it was such a wonderful song, that they reform immediately and go on tour, as so many olden acts are doing very successfully these days. However, sitting on a fence in real life is actually extreme.
So Tim Rice, speaking as the whistle went, and at other points in that round, has moved forward. He's now in second place behind Paul Merton, just ahead of Clement Freud, and then Annabelle Giles. And Annabelle, your turn to begin. And the subject now is pop. Tell us something about pop in just a minute, starting now.
Pop is one of those words which is the same backwards and forwards, therefore it's called a palindrome, similar to mum and dad. Interesting enough, in America, the word forefather is pop. Pop is also something people are given to drink when they're 14 in pub car parks with a packet of crisps. It is also part of a famous earthquake... Oh, get me off now, please. Oh, pop!
The first person on radio who's actually appealed public to be taken... say, get me off. Right, so, Paul, you have decided to get Annabelle off.
Thank you.
And,
That could have been better phrased, couldn't it?
And, Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you have 40 seconds on pop, starting now.
It seems odd to be talking about the subject of pop, because we have with us in the shape of Mr. Tim Rice, perhaps one of the foremost experts on this very subject. He'll probably be able to put me right, but I believe he may still have every number one that's ever been number one since about 19...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two number ones, or number
two number
two
ones,
recall.
Yes. Another point, and 27 seconds, you tell us something about pop, starting now.
Pop would appear to be a secret society at Eton, where young men in funny waistcoats who send letters to their butlers at half term, which is not called by that name because the school wants to be special and different and use language.
Paul Tallant.
We're a long way from pop here, aren't we?
No, we're not.
No. Pop is a club or a society at Eton.
Is it?
Yes, it is. I didn't go there, but I happen to know that.
Well, I don't remember it being mentioned when I was there. But it was a coach trip, and we were only there for about 3 hours.
I'd like to give you some bonus points for your humour, but I'm afraid...
Then do.
No. Clement gets one for being interrupted. He has 12 seconds on pop, starting now.
Carbon dioxide is absolutely essential for the creation of pop. Iron brew, ginger beer, lace with aniseed, almost any carbonated...
Clement with points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's ahead of Tim Rice. He's two behind Paul Merton. And Tim, it's your turn to begin. Catchy lyrics. Tell us something about that subject, which is close to your heart and something I hope you can talk about with confidence. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I see you are a logger and not a common bum, because nobody but a lumberjack stirs coffee with his thumb. This is an example of a very catchy lyric, but by and large, and that is a yachting expression, in case you didn't know it, I think it is impossible for lyrics to be catchy. Music is catchy, and whoever phrased this category should be taken out quietly and given a stern talking to. You cannot have catchy lyrics. It is absolutely out of the question. Lyrics are far too subtle, far too intelligent, far too...
Clement Freudian. Yes.
Far too often.
Far too, yes. You were getting so passionate about your personal subject, Tim, that you got carried away and repeated. 29 seconds, Clement, on catchy lyrics starting now.
Half a pound of tuppenny rice, threepence worth of treacle, that's the way the weasel goes, pop goes.
Well, the lick's so catchy, he's completely mangled it. Deviation from the lyrics.
From the original lyric. Yeah, well done, Paul. 21 seconds, catchy lyrics starting now.
Of course, we have to listen to what Tim says because he has made a great deal of money and had enormous success writing lyrics. My favourite lyricist, I suppose, is probably Irving Berlin. Or is it maybe Cole Porter? In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked upon as something shocking. Now, heaven knows, anything goes. I'd scan was slightly wrong, but I think you get the general meaning and thrust of what I was saying.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went again. The next point has increased his lead over Clement Freud, Tim Rice, Annabelle Giles in that order. Clement Freud, your turn to begin, and the subject now is the gravy train. Tell us something about the gravy train in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
The gravy train could be a description of any diesel or locomotive-driven vehicle in which a mixture of Bisto, Oxo, Marmite and mascara is poured over the food and drink in the restaurant car therein. Gravy trains go from all London terminals, St Pancras, Euston, Paddington, Victoria, Fenchurch Street, Waterloo and London Bridge. I've said London twice.
I was going to say, when are you going to say Marylebone? Because surely that's going to come into this as well.
Annabelle, you have the gravy train. You have 31 seconds starting now.
I always thought a gravy train was better known as a gravy boat, which is, after all, a jug thing which has a saucer attached. I never know why they are all in one piece. You would have thought that they'd be easier to wash up if they were separated. But no. A gravy, the other thing implying a ship word. Oh, for
but...
chivalry.
Yes.
Chivalry.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, she was coming to a halt of some kind. Right, 17 seconds, the gravy train with you, Paul, starting now.
I've been doing just a minute now since 1988, and the gravy train really...
Clement Freud challenge.
2 8s. 88.
Was that your challenge? But no, it didn't. 88.
Walked into my trap. My gravy trap.
Yes, your gravy trap. They're two different words, 80 and 8. So you can't challenge for half a word, which is a pity. So, Paul, an incorrect challenge. 12 seconds, the gravy train starting now.
I've since toured the world promoting this wonderful show. I sell T-shirts in Bombay, souvenir teacups and saucers.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of tea.
There's going to be a hanging in High Wycombe.
I tell you what, okay, look, as you're so belligerent, and you frighten me. I will let you be the superior judge. I will let you judge. If you agree with Clement Freud's challenge, you cheer for him. And if you disagree, you boo for Paul Merton, and you all do it together. Together, now. Well, that's the biggest boo you've ever had, Paul. And so you get it. 5 seconds on the gravy train, starting now.
I remember the A-team. Who remembers Mr. T? What a fantastic character. What's the problem?
Tim.
Well, A, there was a repetition of T, and B, this is absolute deviation. What's it got to do with the gravy train?
Yes,
very popular show. They made an awful lot of money.
Can I ask which T he repeated?
Tim, 2 more seconds. T, not T, no, that's not the point.
Gravy train.
The gravy train starting now.
The common market is a typical...
So Tim was speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal Clement Freud in second place, ahead of Annabelle Giles, and they're all trailing Paul Merton, who is in the lead. And Tim, it's your turn to begin. The subject, swan. Can you tell us something about swan in just a minute, starting now?
Swan conjures up so many wonderful images. It's hard to know where to begin talking about such a magnificent topic. Swan, the bird in flight, the bird...
Paul challenge.
When he said it was hard to know where to begin, the swan was repeated twice.
The bird was repeated, right. Yes. 49 seconds, swan with you, Paul, starting now.
It makes an excellent Sunday lunch. The only difficulty is trying to cram it into the casserole dish, because they're quite nasty little buggers, and they'll get a little beak in it. And you're trying to chop up the vegetables, and suddenly you get hold of the bird.
Tim challenge.
Well, deviation. First he said they were large, and then he said they were little.
Well, some of them are little, if you know.
And rather, frankly, rather disgusting.
Yeah. No, I don't think he was deviating with the rules of just a minute. So he keeps swan, and he has 39 seconds starting now.
I believe the Queen owns all the swans on the Thames, and there is a particular practice that happens around about a certain time of the year called swan upping, which is an offence on the Isle of Man, but they can still get away with it along the banks of that marvellous waterway. I suppose the wonderful...
Clement Freud challenge.
He's supposed before.
You said I suppose, yes.
Lord.
Clement, 23 seconds. Swan, starting now.
Kentucky Fried Swans can't do that.
Paul, you challenged me.
Hesitation,
sir. Yeah, yes, yes. He got such an amazing reaction, he couldn't continue. So... 17 seconds, swan, with you, Paul, starting now.
Like Clement, I love Kentucky Fried Swan. I often get a beacon chips on a Saturday night, and it's wonderful because you can put the vinegar inside the mouth of the actual swan itself, and you can dip your French fries in that, and it makes the most delicious.
Tim challenge.
We had French fries, or fries, more than once.
Chips, I said, then French fries.
You...
Oh, no, they're going to turn again.
You had
look.
Chips before. French fries now.
You said French fries twice. Oh, sorry, it's none of my business, is it? It is.
The audience think it's their business, whatever happens. So. It was chips before. 5 seconds on swan with you, Paul, starting now.
I believe it was Proust.
Clement challenge.
He's believed before.
You believed before, yes. Yes, you have. I'm right. 4 seconds, Clement, swan, starting now.
A swan burger with pommes frites is the sort of thing I would really like.
Right, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle and gained that extra point. And we're moving into the last round, which is very sad because we're enjoying ourselves. Ah, you're enjoying yourselves, are you? Right. Cheer them on their way. What a lovely subject to finish on. Frédéric Chopin. Clement, it's your turn to begin. Tell us something about Frédéric Chopin in just a minute, starting now.
There was a Polish musician called Frédéric Chopin who was from Poland. And when...
So, Paul, you had the first challenge, 48 seconds. Yes, Frédéric Chopin, starting now.
Fred Chopin was possibly the finest mouth organist ever to come out of the Hackney area. On a Saturday night, he'd be down the pub and people would say, whip it out and give it a blow. And he would, in front of the surprised publican and all the regulars, the customers would gather around and they would sing the old tunes as the harmonica blasted.
What's your challenge, Tim?
I was just... wanting to say that he said mouth organ and then harmonica, and how...
and how clever of it.
How clever that was.
How clever he was. So, Paul's got another point. Give Tim a point for that. We like the introduction. It doesn't really matter the final result. And, Paul, you have 31 seconds on Frédéric Chopin, starting now.
Of course, the instrument that he composed for was the piano, and he is known, perhaps, as one of the finest writers of that particular instrument.
Tim Challenge.
I'm sure he had two instruments, and maybe two finest.
I think you did indeed have both, and this time you are in on the subject. With 24 seconds, Frédéric Chopin, starting now.
It amazes me every time I think of the genius of Frédéric Chopin, how he was able to create such magic by simply using a few notes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and the sharps and flats that relate to those particular letters. He was at...
He was Clement.
I thought he said E was.
No. I think he said he was, and if not, he was doing the French thing. He was, you know. No, I'm not going to allow that one, Tim. You've got 2 seconds. 2 seconds more from you on Frédéric Chopin. Bring the show to a close in a flourish, starting now.
Good old Fred. What a fan.
And good old Fred also is the composer of the tune, which is the signature tune of Just a Minute. And this particular edition of the show, Tim Rice was speaking then, when the whistle went, he's moved forward. He's equaling Clement Freud in second place, just ahead of Annabel Giles. But out in the lead by a considerable number of points was Paul Merton. So, Paul, we say, this week, you are our winner. And it only remains me to say thank you to our 4 outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Tim Rice and Annabel Giles. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping with the score and her whistle, and also our producer, Claire Jones, for being so patient and tolerant with us all. And also we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created Just a Minute, and we are also indebted to this lovely audience here in the Swan Theatre at High Wycombe, who have cheered us on their way, even though they become an unruly mob on occasions. From them, from the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.